Okay, yeah,
yeah.
Deli
Ali looks like a shaggy dog.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Patrons, Wednesday, Tottenham, and Tottenham lost.
I'm aware.
Tottenham lost. Yeah, I mean, look, we...
No, start the podcast again. Welcome back to our Tottenham listeners. This is what you subscribe to Patreon for.
Yeah, definitely for Tottenham. I mean, I think to be fair, starting with West Ham as well, because I'm sure you want to get yourself geared up for a rant about it. I mean, we've got Europa League football 2 days away from now, or tomorrow now. So our first game, Zagreb, which it was very nice of them to release more tickets earlier this week, but who's going to get there with 3 days notice? I'm sure there are some that are going to manage.
Spurs fans are not allowed to travel into Rennes.
Oh, okay.
But they are allowed to. No. It's like a local, like the supporters are not allowed in the city of Rennes, apparently, but we can go to the game.
Oh, fair play.
What the fuck's that all about?
Yeah, that's a bit weird.
Spurs are trying to sort it out as that time of recording.
But let's start with the weekend game, Southampton. And it's the second time in a row that we've struggled to break down a low-ish block. Second time we've struggled, Palace was the other time, where we've struggled to break down a low block. And it's a bit of a problem at the moment. We don't have that cutting edge in the final third to intricately break through a team that's sitting deep. And obviously now Antonio's gone as well. It's a concern. I'm concerned.
You keep saying, I think you're very capable of beating United this weekend, even without Antonio.
Yeah, because they'll come out and play, so there'll be more space for us to attack them.
I just judge you as a very good team now, mate. So you drew at Southampton. It's not the end of the world. Look at my fucking weekend.
Yeah, I get it, and we could have scored, but to be fair, they had a few chances as well. But I think they had a few good quality chances rather than a volume of consistent pressure, whereas we had more consistent pressure and played decent football for the majority of the game. It's just that final third is a concern, and I'll be really interested to see who plays up top tomorrow. And Antonio might, because he can't play on Sunday.
Antonio will play in Zagreb.
So then it's not going to really give us an indication of what's going to happen at the weekend. But the good thing is now, where we've talked about what happens when Antonio gets injured, well, Yarmolenko can slot in, or Vlasic can play up top, or he might push Bowen up top because he did that at the back end of last season. There's a number of players that can fill that role.
I think Vlasic is unlikely, because I think for a full debut to play in what would essentially be out of position, he might get a bit lost.
Yeah, yeah.
Bowen can play the role. We know that. We saw it at times when Antonio had that kind of injury, sort of the early 30 game weeks last season.
Yeah.
Where Bowen went up front. Moyes speaks often about Yarmolenko doing the role. Yeah. I spoke on Monday's podcast that I think that's probably the way you'll go, because I think he's a physical lad and he doesn't mind. He's unusual in being a winger that he doesn't mind having his back to goal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I think Yarmolenko will play through the middle.
It'll be really interesting to see. But yeah, it was a concern. There wasn't a concern that we didn't put in any effort. I still think the team put in a shift. And I still do.
What was the last game that West Ham didn't put a shift in for?
That's a very good question. It's been a while.
Yeah.
It's been a hell of a while. And I'm getting it week in, week out, which is good. Even Rice and Suchek put in a real good shift. So looking forward to Sunday at Old Trafford. And if nothing else, I watched the Ronaldo show when I...
you're going to Old Trafford, foremost, are you? There won't be nothing happening at Old Trafford this weekend.
No, it'll be on the stadium, mate. You don't think it's going to be a Ronaldo show?
No.
Why not?
You give him a proper football game, mate. Craig Dawson's going to knock him up in the air first time he goes near him, mate.
Don't know if Craig Dawson will play.
Well, then Kurt Zouma will instead then, mate.
I think Zouma and Areola are really knocking on the door now to get
But then you've got Dawson and Fabianski, pressure on their places, clean sheet.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah,
that
thank
doesn't
God,
change,
hallelujah.
Does it?
That's
so,
the one thing that was at least finally one clean sheet in 15, 16 games.
Isn't it now two clean sheets since like game week 27 and they've both been against Southampton?
Is that right?
I think so.
Okay.
Didn't you beat them like 3-0 final day or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, last day we beat them 3-0 comfortably. And Fornals scored then. Fornals is really developing rapidly at the moment. I think there's going to be a lot of teams that are going to want a midfielder that can play box to box and put a shift in like he can. I think there's a lot of
teams are beginning to want a lot of your players, mate.
This is the problem.
Soufal, Rice,
Soufal has definitely showed himself to be
even Jared Bowen, you'd argue, has been on the fringes, was obviously heavily linked with Liverpool. There's a potential backup to Mo Salah.
Rumour more than anything else.
Benrahma will get looked at. Fornals will get looked at. Antonio.
Too old. 31 coming on, man. Too old.
Well, I think it was one this time last year we was talking about it, weren't
we? Yeah, he's too old.
I was mentioning him as a possible Kane replacement.
But I do look at it and I'm like, where are they going to go?
Out of contract.
Where are they going to go? I don't think they're quite... They're actually the perfect players for West Ham because they're not good enough to play at top six level, but they're not good enough to drop down or go overseas. I mean, right level.
Certainly Antonio is. And I would say Rice and Soufal definitely are
ahead
as well.
Ahead of who? You're not going to play him ahead of Jota or Firmino at Liverpool. You're not going to play him ahead of Kane at Spurs. Arsenal is not top six.
Rice and Soufal both walk into our team.
Rice does. No doubt about it. Soufal does as well. I don't doubt that as well. But Antonio, I don't think does. I don't think our wingers or attacking players necessarily do. Rice is a different case though. That guy.
Anyone who can play a forward pass would probably get in our
Rice
team at the moment.
Rice is really good, and he's playing well. I'm happy. Like at least we're not having debates about depth of squad. We've got enough players to cover, and to come away with a draw being disappointing says something about the mentality. And I think they were genuinely disappointed, as much as Bowen said that. Eventually, when things calm down, you can look at an away clean sheet and draw at Southampton and say it was a point and we take it and we move on. But I don't think they feel that way. I think they feel it's points dropped.
No, listen, you should be disappointed going somewhere and not winning. It's worth remembering that Manchester United went there and didn't win 2 weeks ago. And,
that's true.
In game week two and easily could have lost there, right?
Yeah.
So, listen, now the crowds are back, mate. Away games are so much more difficult.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even somewhere like that, which is not hostile or something, it just changes the vibe of the feel of a game having the home crowd there. I think we've seen that over the first four games. I think you've seen it at your place as well, even like the atmosphere against Leicester sounded very good.
But it was one of the best that's been at the London Stadium since we moved.
So, I mean, that might calm down a bit now that people kind of got in their routines. But I mean, even like with us, so, you know, first thing Dad said to me Sunday was like, "It'll be a cricket score against Chelsea, we'll get fucking battered." I'm like, no, it won't.
It doesn't work like that, no.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, Zagreb's the one I don't know enough about. You know a bit more because you've seen him more recently. Should we be beating Zagreb?
Yeah, of course you should, mate.
Yeah, they're not going to offer...
Nah, they're...
Difficulty.
They're Europa League group stage material. I mean, they got to the quarterfinals last year. We know why, but I mean, fuck knows. That's a second rate team. It becomes I don't know what the crowd situation is. It's a sort of place. That was one of the things that was so unforgivable about us losing there was these places can be hostile and tough.
Yeah,
right?
I get that.
Refereeing decisions tend to every single decision tends to go against you when you go somewhere like that. Like we had no excuse when we played there with no crowd or nothing. And it does link to Spurs because I'm obviously thinking about how many worse performances I've seen from a Spurs team recently than what I saw at the weekend. And I mean, that's definitely one, the Zagreb. And I was reflecting on it today again because I mentioned it at the time going, is that the worst result in our history? And I was reflecting on it again today now that the dust has settled 6 months on. And I come to the conclusion that it probably is, worst result in our history, losing 3-0 in Zagreb. The whole circumstance about it, which if you lose there doesn't make it the worst result in your history, of course it doesn't. And if you can get beat now, of course you could, but it's a group stage, right? Listen, I mean, we lost at Royal Antwerp last year
well. I think
it doesn't matter, you just got to get out the thing.
Maybe I need to take a step back and look at the context of other teams. Maybe Man United are the ones that are making me feel good about themselves, because you're right, they didn't beat Southampton. And they just lost in the group stages to Young Boys. So, you know, even teams like Man United can get a draw at Southampton
and
lose in the group stage.
And we're very fortunate to win at Wolves.
Yeah. It's true. So
that's the away game day that we have on Manchester United. Now, admittedly, obviously, Southampton and Wolves wasn't with Ronaldo, but it was with Ronaldo last night. And I know they went down to 10 men and stuff.
And he did score Ronaldo again.
And I didn't watch the game, but I heard United kind of went to a back five and invited pressure after Wan-Bissaka was sent off. and you just know that none of City, Chelsea or Liverpool would behave like that.
Yeah.
And that's why, as you mentioned earlier to me about, Ollie out trending and stuff, that's why.
Yeah.
Because the other big clubs don't go and behave like that. Man City just go, we'll kick the ball. All right, we've got a player less, but ain't going to invite pressure. You're still playing a Mickey Mouse team, with all respect. Mm.
Ronaldo, just on a quick note, yesterday he broke or matched Casillas' record, didn't he?
That's right, yeah.
Was it 117 or 170 something?
177, I want to say.
177 games
in the Champions
League. In the Champions League.
Yeah.
Fucking joke.
And?
What a joke. 170. I was like, yo, there's players that don't get to play that many games in their domestic leagues in their career sometimes. But
you think about it, he's probably...
Unbelievable.
Every year at United, he was... Every year...
15 years.
Every year in his career, his team has been in a Champions League. It's never not. There's never been one season.
Eight group stage games almost. He's not. If he's, six group stage
games. If he's played in Europa League, it's because his team went out in the Champions League group stage, right? He's never not been in the Champions League. So you're guaranteed a minimum
six
games. All right. When did he join United? 2002, mm-hmm. I want to say roughly. We're coming up to only 20 years.
Yeah, it's mad.
And obviously his fitness levels are incredible. He's never had a real serious injury. I don't, probably never missed more than 2-3 months in a single time. So it shouldn't be that surprising. If he's averaging sort of
it's not
8-9 games a year in the Champions
League.
But it's
remarkable.
Of course it is, because it's the ability to stay at the top for so long in your career.
Goalkeepers are different gravy, because they sit in and play longer careers generally and so on. They generally will top the appearances.
How many appearances is Messi on?
I'm not sure.
We can't be far away. Must be similar.
Perhaps.
Anyway, let's not get into Messi-Ronaldo debate.
Perhaps. So looking forward to the game against Zagreb tomorrow. We'll definitely give feedback on that next week in Tottenham. And then United, big day out. It's going to be fun. I'm going to look forward to it. I'm taking both boys. I feel like I have to. I don't really want to. I want to take one, but I feel like I have to, because I don't think they'll get to see Ronaldo in his prime maybe ever again.
Yeah, should be done.
Mm. Just go, just watch Ronaldo.
They understand who he is and stuff,
of
right?
Of course.
So.
Of course. Yeah. So, yeah. Looking forward to it. It'll be a nice Sunday, pleasant in the afternoon, 2 o'clock kickoff.
I love
Let's
it.
See.
Take the kids to see Ronaldo. First minute, Craig Dawson puts him up in the air. Say yes, Ronaldo.
Yeah. But you know, one thing I would say about Sunday is, if we can keep it tight or even get a lead, then the place can be rocking. The place is going to be rocking. Then it becomes harder for us.
Of course, big game,
anyway.
Big atmosphere.
Yeah, the fans, United has always been
fans,
a big game for us.
The fans will realise, I mean, that West Ham fans get a lot of critics, but the fans aren't daft enough to not understand that the team's in a good place at the moment, and for a fixture like this, they need some help, particularly without their best player.
Mm-hmm.
The fans will know that. The fans will know the team needs some help on Sunday. So probably helps with the atmosphere.
Mm.
We always got to be careful with West Ham. I've always had the feeling, if the first 20 minutes are bad, it can die on its arse, the atmosphere.
Yeah.
And people get frustrated really quickly. That's the same at
they
Spurs.
Do.
That's
they
the
do.
Same at Spurs.
That second half at Palace, with Palace coming to us, was a little bit nervy, but it was sloppy. It was almost deserved. They're like sloppy passing, giving the ball away, and you're like, come on, you're better than that, guys. So it might comes across as moany, but we're better than that. We know we are. We're just trying to give them a kick
Plus,
up the arse.
Both our fans still have the mentality of, if you think of the worst thing that can happen, it will happen.
Yeah.
That's still the mentality.
Yeah.
That is changing. Takes time. I think you're in a wonderful position at the moment in terms of where the football club is at, the feel good around it. The European games are definitely going to help for the excitement from the fans. People can belittle the Europa League all they want, but right now for West Ham, I know the feeling. I had it 15 years ago. Getting in it, for having not been in it for a while, was fucking exciting. Go and enjoy it. Go as far as you can. Treat it seriously. Don't let it blow up your Premier League season, but treat it seriously and enjoy it. And in that stage, to be honest, these teams with crowds back tend to not travel very well. You win your three home games, you go through.
Yeah. Who are you playing tomorrow?
We are playing Rennes.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, you just mentioned
Rennes. France.
Looking forward to it?
You're a decent side. No. I'm looking forward to Tottenham playing in Europa
You're
Conference
away,
League.
Right?
No, yes.
Yeah, so you'll be the 5:45 kickoff as
well. We're 5:45 as well. So yeah, all our away games, both us and you, 5:45, 8 o'clock home games. Which I was a bit nervous that they might not do that in terms of Spurs and West Ham both playing at 8 o'clock. Because UEFA have had this stupid rule in the Champions League, haven't they? Oh, you can't have two games on the same night in the same city and stuff like that.
We're miles apart.
Well, yeah, but then we've had that before where us and Chelsea have played the same night or something in the Champions League and they've moved one of us and stuff. I mean, it doesn't make any sense.
Weird.
But yeah, whatever. So I was a little bit, oh, I wonder if they're going to shove us to like 5:30 on a Wednesday or something like that. But no, that's not proven the case. But I'm surprised they've lined it up all the way through that Tottenham and West Ham are always at home the same night. I would have thought they would have lined us up with Leicester.
Yeah.
Strange. Anyway, doesn't fucking matter. Particularly for someone who's not heading back south or east after the game and going north. It doesn't bother me at all. And I don't have to travel from south to get to the game either.
Yep.
Am I looking forward to the game in Rennes? No. Am I looking forward to the game on Sunday against Chelsea? No. Am I looking forward to going to Wolves next Wednesday? No. I've got a ticket for Arsenal the Sunday afterwards as well. Am I looking forward to that? No. Saturday.
Going to the Emirates.
Saturday. I fucking hate that place. I don't know why I'm going. My dad wants to go. Such a shit view. We'll do it. That missing football bug. I bet if we'd have been applying this week up before that, we wouldn't have fucking bothered. I applied for the tickets on Friday. Yeah, yeah, let's do it, Dad. We're doing all right at the moment. Let's go everywhere.
And then we lose.
Then we lose. Yeah. That was catastrophic on Saturday. And I think the annoying thing is, it's not the result. It's the manner of what happened. And as I said on Monday's pod, there are mitigating circumstances with the injuries, but I won't have them as an excuse because whatever 11 we put on the pitch should be competitive.
Correct.
I had no doubt that this was going to be a tricky game. I predicted it to be a draw, partly because of the absences we had and stuff. Certain things transpired against us. It didn't help Eric Dier getting injured. Whatever people think about him, he started the season well and he's a leader at the back.
Yep.
And suddenly you've got Rodon and Tanganga playing centre back or a couple of kids. You've got a fella playing right back, I don't even think can speak English, it's his debut. And Reguilón at left back's not that kind of chatty kind of talking leader either. So would have everything defensively would have fell on Hugo. And then even in midfield there aren't real talkers. Winks, Skip, Højbjerg. Højbjerg is a little bit of a leader, I guess you could say. And just leadership within the team, massive problem. The statistics from the game are frightening. 18 shots for Palace, 2 for Tottenham. 62% possession for Crystal Palace. 8 corners to 2. 4 shots on target to our 1. 7 shots off target to our 1. 7 block shots to our 0. They had 3 big chances. They missed 1 big chance. They had 12 shots inside the box. We had 1. They completed nearly 200 more passes than us.
Wow.
They attempted 23 more crosses than us in the game. Some scary statistics.
It's basically front-to-back domination, really.
Yeah, I mean, I went down the pub and watched the game and I commented 20 minutes into the game that this was a nothing game of football and one goal would win it, i.e. whoever scores first is probably going to win this game. And then it got to about half hour, 35 minutes, and like that was the general feeling still, where Palace were having a bit of a spell.
They were getting bet into it and taking control of it.
I didn't feel like we was in trouble, but it was like watching a game, and I spoke about it a lot last year under Mourinho and before. It was like watching a game, but like watching through something else. Mm-hmm. Like I'm not really a part, even though I'm in the pub and I'm obviously not in the ground. It was like being a part of looking in on the outside on someone else's nothingness. And it felt nothing watching it, that kind of numb. Everything that then followed and happened in the second half almost became expected. Like as soon as obviously the penalty was given, it's definitely a penalty, no complaints.
Yeah.
Game was done. I understood the selection originally. When I saw the team, I was like, oh, that's okay. And actually, I was quite pleased because I didn't expect Oliver Skip to be involved.
Yeah.
So I thought, okay, I understand that. He's going to play Ali further up. We'll work from there with a 4-3-3. So I spoke on Monday about the problem with a midfield three, and that's one thing, but then it was 4-3-2-1 and Ali just ended up so deep. I know he ended up playing deeper after the red card, but Ali's average position in the game's deeper than Winks. Mm. Oh, fuck off, Harry needs some help.
Yeah.
Harry needs some. I think Ali's. I saw a statistic. Ali's XG this season is 0.16 if you remove the penalty at Wolves in the four games, which is nothing. And he hasn't created a chance for anyone yet.
Okay.
And I know he's playing in this kind of more withdrawn left of a midfield three position, but you need more from him. And I don't even want to be critical of Dele, because I think he was one of the people, again on Saturday, who look at him and go, you worked hard. You're just not very good anymore.
I felt at that half an hour mark, Palace started coming into the game more and more and more.
Yeah, because I think they got to the point and went, Tottenham are going to start playing in a minute. And Tottenham have, we've seen it in particular the City and the Wolves games, tried to utilise the counter-attack, particularly through Lucas. And I think it was a consciousness of, okay, don't overcommit, don't leave yourself to a counter-attack. And I think half hour in, Palace got the gist of, there's no problem here.
Yeah,
let's
go. And what when they had their spell of getting into the game, I was like, all right, they'll have 3, 4, 5 attacks and then Tottenham will take control again. It happens in waves, but it didn't stop. It just felt like, oh, Palace having another wave. Oh, another attack. Oh, another attack. Oh, they're continuously, when the ball's recycled, it's Palace that are getting it back and coming back again. I was like, Spurs just can't get the ball back. How can you not be able to get the ball back or get control when you've got Skip and Højbjerg and Winks all in the middle of the park?
Because none of them can pass forward.
And it was just like, get the fucking ball. Like, get a bit of control. Palace really controlled it there.
So, I mean, with Lucas and Ali playing so narrow behind Harry Kane, there was never an out ball. If you're going to play 4-3-2-1, it's not a system. Just by the sounds of it, you go, that sounds fucking defensive and grim. But to make it work, your fullbacks have to get high up the pitch. Mm-hmm. And the beauty of the system is when the fullbacks do get really high up the pitch, the midfield three should be able to kind of move some side to side and protect the space.
I mean, we play 4-2-3-1. Soufal, I think, is...
Nah, 4-3-2-1.
You played 4-3-2-1.
Yeah.
Okay, I thought you said 4-2-3-1 there for a second.
Nah, so with that, you've got
4-3-2-1,
that's what I'm saying. The width has to come from the fullbacks, right?
Yeah,
so if you don't
get
100%. Them high, you're in trouble. And it never got high. Emerson, there was a couple of times where it was like, go on, mate, go on, push it, have a go, show me something. And I don't know if it was because...
worried about Zaha. Because Zaha gave him a torrid time.
I get that. And every time he was ahead of Zaha, the ball seemed to go into him because naturally they look for him quickly. And then he's chasing backwards. And he got left out to dry. And I think the criticism on that has to go to the manager.
Yeah.
The Winks left the midfield free. I spoke about it on Monday. Never fucking played there. What are you doing? So even if you were going to play that way, 4-3-2-1, and the fullbacks get high, if Reguilón's higher and you get counted into, do you want Harry Winks in the left-back position? You're fucking dying, mate. The whole layout of it was bizarre. So I think it could have been changed quite simply by going, do you know what, Dele, you need to fill a role for the team today and you need to go and play on the left-hand side. Same setup. Lucas, right-hand side. Then you've got the problem of, obviously, the distance between the midfield three and Harry Kane's probably too big. But then you want Harry to drop in, and then Dele and Lucas can go into central positions, a la Mane and Salah at Liverpool, and we look stronger. And then you build a progressive play from there. But we just got nowhere near anything that looked like a cohesive unit. I mean, many people have been critical of Kane's stats at the weekend, but he had a fucking pass in the game. Like, man, my criticism would be go and get the ball.
Yeah,
drop
he was
in,
anonymous just, a little bit.
Just go and get it. Make a decision for yourself. Go and get it. It was just so blunt and toothless. And I understood why he didn't pick Brian Hill in the first instance, because had he started that way and then needed to make an offensive change, he had nothing. The only other offensive change he would have had on the bench is a young lad called Dylan Markandy, who is a wide player, he's a bit of a dribbler, he's a talent. Not ready to play at this level yet. There's nothing else offensive. Even Ryan Sessegnon, another injury. Fuck's sake. Like, never ending with that plug. So we have to hope that that's a one-off, because that can't be acceptable. And I mean, if we do play like that against Chelsea on Sunday, we will get battered. It will be 4 or 5-0. I'm just pretty sure that we won't. Romero, Sanchez and Lo Celso
are back
on Saturday. They have to play. At the moment, all three of them. At least one of the two defensively has to play. So I would say Romero's got to play.
Yeah.
Because Romero is physical. He won't mind playing against Lukaku. Romero's got to play. If it's Romero and Rodon, that's fine. I mean, ideally it'd be Romero and Sanchez. Sanchez had started the season well. And if he's going to be without the wide attackers again in Bergwijn and Son, at least Gio Lo Celso, he wants to get his head up and pass the ball forward and stuff. And so even just that little subtle change of going, right, it's a midfield three and now it's Lo Celso left, Højbjerg right, and Skip as the deeper, that's fine. And then Lo Celso and Højbjerg can go and play a bit higher and you can make it a 4-1, 4-1 at times. Delhi's got to do more offensively. I don't want to criticise him, as I said, because he's working really hard. Like, he looks fitter, but he's not doing anything or making anything happen that's influencing the attacking phases of play that should have people interested. I'm still getting questions about him for FPL. Like, are you watching games? So, big deal at the weekend in terms of how we play.
Delhi looks like a big shaggy dog right now.
He does need a fucking haircut as well.
Check this out. This is bad for the listeners, but you're going to check this. We can probably add it. So my cousin sent me a picture of Delhi Ali because he bumped into him in Cockfosters High Road, which is around the corner from near where we are. You know where all the footballers hang out at Miracles. There's Delhi Ali, right? With his niece.
Okay, yeah.
Delhi Ali looks like a shaggy dog.
Just post that picture of the shaggy dog in the general chat and put coming up in Tottenham.
Yeah.
And then they'll get it once they've listened to
exactly
it.
Exactly that. Delhi Ali, Mr.
Prognosis on Son and Bergwijn is they've both got a chance for Sunday.
Okay.
Even if it's Bergwijn, either being fit will make a massive difference. Stevie works so hard defensively as well, gets himself into good counter-attacking positions. I think Sunday will be different and I think we'll be all right. And I wouldn't be surprised if we get a result. I cannot see us beating them, but I wouldn't be surprised if we got a result.
Sunday will be different. I think you'll be all right, but I do think you'll lose. They are just too good at the moment.
They're also a team that gave away a lot of chances to Aston Villa on Saturday.
They did.
And I watched quite a bit of their second half last night because by the time I'd got Harry to bed, my interest in Barca and Bayern Munich was zero.
Barca's interest in Barca and Bayern Munich was zero yesterday, mate.
So I was watching a bit of Chelsea because it was 0-0. Lukaku got a great headed goal. It's from a very ordinary cross, a good cross from Azpilicueta, but ordinary in the sense of it wasn't overly threatening and Lukaku just made it look so easy. Zenit had a brilliant chance, man. Zuba should have equalised. A fucking brilliant chance. So they're actually giving up a few chances at the moment. And I know they changed the defensive lineup to what it was at the weekend and stuff. But if Harry gets a chance, he'll score, won't he?
Conte, fit.
And N'Golo. That'd be a bonus if he's not as well. Because he always dominates us.
If he's fit, that's why they're giving up chances, mate. Because you haven't got.
Do you know what? There might be something in that. Although I think Kovacic has been playing well. I like him. Jorginho's obviously had a super 2021. But yeah, there might be something in that in terms of just how much of the game they have and his presence when they don't have the ball. You can leave N'Golo Kante in trouble because he acts like two men off the ball, doesn't he? So yeah, there might be something in that. What I keep thinking about the weekend is the game's more suitable for Nuno in terms of that the fans will accept at the weekend not having the ball. I highlighted this as a real issue before the Watford game. Let's see what happens when we expected to win against a weaker opponent. And to be honest, Watford, we should have won 2-0 or so. The performance was fine. Obviously, it was unacceptable at Palace. I wonder, actually, the fixtures are beginning to stiffen up. And I wonder if, in an odd way, it might even be suitable for us at the moment, why there's a few problems and stuff. But the fans aren't going to accept that from the weekend. For me, as I said on Monday, if it was a Mourinho was in charge, I'd be losing my mind. And the only reason I'm not is because it's first game. That can't happen again. It can never happen again. That midfield three can never be picked again. I suspect it might be in France tomorrow night. But I'm hoping, get on Ndombele on the pitch. He was sub on Saturday, right? Get him on there now. Stop making excuses. He probably wanted to go. Maybe Nuno wanted him to go. You've got a super talent. Don't tell me you can't use him at least for 25 minutes at the end of a game. Or don't tell me you can't use him for the first hour or something. Because he's levels above the other players. He's the best midfield player we've got. That's what's so fucking annoying about this bloke. He's basically the best player in the team. He needs to sort it out, whatever's going on behind the scenes and stuff. If Nuno can coax that out of him, it's going to save us a lot of money in the transfer market. Yeah. He's a super player. And Dombley should be able to play in that system. A midfield three should really suit him.
Prediction for Sunday?
I'm going to go 1-1.
2-1 to Chelsea for me, I think.
And I think yours will be 1-1 as well.
Oh, 2-1-1s predicted on Tottenham. Interesting. Come back next week, as you always will, my friends and patrons, because we'll have two games each to review. Ropey League, Ropey Conference League, and the Premier League. But yeah, we'll see if we're in good spirits or not.
We're definitely going to have some laughs with this Ropey League over the next few months. The Ropey League and the Ropey League too.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Patrons, thank you for your support. Quiz tomorrow on the first 4 weeks of FPL. I do like FPL quizzes, especially if it's only the last most recent 4 weeks.
So I don't know if it's going to be any good.
I should be, my memory shouldn't be so bad.
Short term, you exactly. should be all
right. Stay safe, patrons. Ciao for now.
Thanks, patrons. Go, Spurs. Sort the fucking shit out, Nuno. Cue music, please, man child. Fantasy Football Show.